We're going to go back over 1 Samuel chapter 15. I went through this kind of quickly. I want to reiterate while you're getting these papers the statement that I made, that when the Lord says in the scripture that it repented the Lord that he made Saul king, God didn't feel bad about that he made Saul king. God can't make mistakes. So when you're reading the scripture, you must understand there's things going into when you're reading the Word of God that you must put into perspective before you read the Word of God. A lot of people get messed up in the scriptures because they go in with the thought process, a wrong thought process. You can't go into the scripture thinking humanly. You've got to go into the scripture thinking that God knows everything. You've got to go into the scripture realizing that man does not know everything. Nothing ever occurred to God. God cannot change. God cannot lie. All those things put together, you say, well, there's times that the Lord changed his mind. He told man that he did, but he didn't. Because God knew before this ever happened that it was going to happen. So you must understand something. I believe that there are times in the scripture that God does things and says things for our benefit. He knew they were coming, but he had to say them for our benefit. He gave Israel the king called Saul for their benefit, even though he was a bad king. Are you with me? See, sometimes the Lord will do things that don't seem right to us, but they're still for our benefit, and then we can look back later and say, wow, now I understand it. I understand why that happened. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to have a word of prayer. Then I want to go over something that is difficult for Christians to hear, but necessary. Difficult for us to try to deal with, but necessary. We've got to come to a realization, and we went over this a lot last week, but I just want to hit on this again. You must understand something. There are times that we have to forsake that which is good to do what God wants us to do. And I'll say that here in a minute after on the other side of prayer. Brother Coolidge, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes, Father, open up our hearts and minds this morning so that we can learn from the book of Samuel. Help us now, Jesus, to glorify your name through this. Help us to realize, Lord, that God wants to be our God.
Yes.
He doesn't want man to govern us. He wants that old KJV to govern our lives.
Yep.
Thank you for your mercy and your grace. This is just one object lesson of it, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask this.
Amen. You may turn to your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting in verse 1, understand, you must remember that Samuel is old. You remember that? You must, because when we get to the end of this, it's good to see the old man of God do something. And people may not like it, but that's just the way it is. I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now don't mix words here. You know that you know that you know that you know. I've belabored this a million and one times, how you must have the Word of God to know what God wants to tell you. Don't come to me and say, God told me something and it doesn't line up with this. Don't tell me that. You're a liar. I've had lots of fellas tell me, well, that's you can't get that out of the Bible. Let me tell you something, fella. You can't get anything out of the Bible. Once it's in there to stay. Okay? So you must understand something. Samuel tells Saul, you are the king. God is speaking something to you. Now listen very well. Hearken unto these words. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Now I want you to see what this says. And utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. You may not like this word right here, but is this what God said? So you must understand something. When you read the scripture, God did not mix words. He made it very simple to understand. He said, Saul, I want you to destroy all of them, front to back, top to bottom, side to side, no matter what they are, I want you to destroy them all. Now, yes, there's a wonderful spiritual application here, but you cannot take away from the fact that he said, destroy all of it. Yeah, it may not work with a lot of folks, but that's the truth. And you cannot take away the truth. Truth is truth. I tried to really drive that home. You can't change it. Truth is always truth. The minute you change truth, it is not truth anymore. Now it's a lie. Truth is always truth. And this is what God told him to do. Now look at this. Verse 4. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For he showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Whoops. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of and the lambs and all that was what? Now let me ask you a question. Whose eyes were they good in? Huh? Okay. I want you to think with me. I'm just going to park here for a moment. It wasn't that he was saving that which was bad. He destroyed all that. The next verse shows you he destroyed everything that was bad. He destroyed all the people except one. And he saved that only which was good. Now you would say, humanly speaking, well, that's not so bad. But whose eyes was it good in? Huh? It was only good in the eyes of a man. It was only good because a man thought it was good. He utterly forsook that what God said and said, it's only good in my eyes, but in my eyes it is truly good. And because it's good in my eyes, he made an executive decision and decided, hey, listen, he had to give the order. Can you say amen? He had to give the order. He had to give the order to the people, hey, save the good stuff. Save that which is good. Save that which I think is good. Save the good sheep. Save the good ox. Save the good things that they have, because what we're going to do is keep them. Hey, this is the spoils of war. This is our reward. How many times, Christian, this is a spiritual application here. How many times do we save that which is good, forsaking what God has said? Hey, listen, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Listen to me now. Comes from this passage. This is where it comes from. I'll read it to you a little bit later on. But it's better to obey than to sacrifice comes right from here. So let me ask you a question. Is it good to go watch a ball game? Sure, nothing wrong with going to a ball game. It's good. Is it good to watch a ball game instead of going to church? But how many times does that happen? Huh? The Lord said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. See, what you got to understand is this. We should be in church every time the doors are open. Unless you are providentially hindered, you should be in church whenever the doors are open. It's amazing how many times providence gets in the way. Huh? Now, this doesn't preach well. And a lot of people get irritated. But you know in the depths of your heart what is right and what is wrong. And let me explain something to you. Just because it's good does not make it right. Just because it's good. And here's another thing. How many times has God told you to do something and you didn't do it because you were doing something good? Huh? How many times you've been out soul winning, yet even when you're out soul winning, you didn't go to the person that God wanted you to go to? You're in the midst of doing something good. I got to put this door hanger on the door. Well, praise the Lord. But what about the person you passed in the yard that you should have said, hey, I want to tell you about Christ? What happened to that person? What happened to the person as you're shopping for stuff for your family? Nothing wrong with shopping. It's good. I hate shopping. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate shopping. Put me in Walmart. You make me sick quick. I don't like being in Walmart. I don't like shopping. I am a man's man when it comes to shopping. Good or bad, I don't like to be shopping. I can get my Christmas shopping done in 5 minutes or less. You give me a chance. But there's nothing wrong with going out and buying stuff for your family. But while you're out buying stuff for your family, ought you to ignore every person you come into about the gospel? I love what my wife shops, and she passes out tracts wherever she goes. I would to God I could pass out tracts as well as she does. I really do. What happens in our life is this. We ignore in the midst of craziness, and sometimes I just don't even know if we realize it. That's what's sad. To me, that's what's sad. We don't even realize what God wants us to do because God's not even on our mind. And it's not hard. I go through that a lot where I get about busy here and there, just like the little boy that lost the lamb. He got busy here and there. He got busy, and the greatest sacrifice ever was taking place. And he was busy here and there and did not that which he was told to do. Christian, I challenge you, don't get so busy that you don't know what's going on around you. Don't get so busy that you trade something good for that which is right. Because they're not necessarily the same thing. If you look at what Saul does here, he doesn't do something that's bad. You could say that he's providing for his country. You could say he's providing spoils of war for his people. There's a lot of excuses you could give, but does that line up with verse 3? Verse 3 says, utterly destroy all of it. All. There's not one thing that God wanted left behind. Can I ask you a question? Will God provide for you? Then if he tells you to utterly destroy something, obviously he's going to take care of you on the other side. Amen? All right. Let's move on. If you look down to verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. This is an old man preacher here. He's watching the country go down the tubes. He knows that his Lord is upset with what has happened, and it grieves him that the Lord is upset. What a good preacher. It's a good preacher that cries when he sees things going wrong. It's a good preacher that cries when sin comes into the camp. It's a good preacher that cries when his people are going the wrong direction. It's a good preacher that cries and is upset when God is not being pleased, when God is not being followed, when God is not being trusted. It's a good preacher that cares about that kind of thing. It's a good preacher. You get your preacher up here and he's upset about sin. Say amen, don't say oh me. When you get somebody that's upset about what's going on in America, get excited about that man of God. Don't try to hold him back. Don't try to hold him down. When your preacher gets conviction about what's going on with rebellion in your children, don't go against him. Go behind him and say, glory to God, we've got a man that cares about the things of God. Then the word of the Lord came unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place. and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You know what's ahead? I can't tell if he really believed that or not. You know, the Lord does not want you to be substandard Christians. Huh? What's sad is many people, I get to preach a lot of funeral, many people believe that the way that a person lived their life is going to get them to heaven. That's not what God said. Many, hundreds of people said, we're all children of God. It's not what the Bible says. I have done what breaks my heart is people in good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches don't know what God's commandment is. They don't know. They've got this preconceived notion in their mind of what is right. They've got their preconceived notion in their mind and in their intelligence. Even some of you may be saying, this kid has no idea what he's talking about this morning. You're right, I don't, but the Bible does. And I'm telling you what that says. Now, you can get mad at me all you want to, but the things that you're doing in your life that you ought not do, don't think that God doesn't know. We lead lives as Christians, and we think God doesn't know that we looked at pornography on the computer. Just because you're alone in a dark room, the only eye you got blazing is that stinking computer that you can't get off of for 5 minutes. I got to be honest with you, if you spend more time on the computer than you spend in your King James Bible, you got real problems. Well, I look at the Bible on the computer. No, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. Lay your eyes on it. Let's read that Bible. It's like the church going with hymns on the stinking rotten TV screens. Getting away from the books in the pews so you can raise your holy hands in praise to God and clap your hands to God. Let me explain something to you. I believe in all of that, but you ought not have hymnals outside of the pews. And by the way, I don't think you ought to have Bibles in the pews. Get mad at me all you want to. Why don't you bring your Bible? Why don't you carry one? Why are you relying on the army to provide your weapon? Why don't you bring your own? You got to understand something. You got to start getting in that old book so you know what God has said. You got Christians walking around that got no idea what God has said. Well, I know that God's going to take everybody up at the end and everybody's going to be all right. No, there is a hell. And there are people that are going to go there. And Saul came to greet Samuel and says, Hey, brother, I've done everything that God had commanded me to do. Samuel said, You're an idiot. He said it in Hebrew. It may not be in this version. Blessed be thou of the Lord, verse 13. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then? I like this. What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? If you did everything that God has said, why are the animals still alive? Why do I hear the... Why do I hear the... We should all be having barbecue right now. Why are these still alive? I love the excuse. And Christians, we can fit right in this file drawer. Look at this now. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, why, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. I want you to see something very important here. There's one little word that I find amazing. The word thy. In this passage, the word thy wants to make me want to vomit. Why, preacher? Just as much Samuel's God is my God. Saul opens himself up a little bit here. And he lets Samuel know. And hey, let me tell you something. I believe Saul was God's anointed. That's what the Bible says. But just because you're God's anointed doesn't take away the portion of you being a sinner. And in this particular case, Samuel, we have saved the best of the sheep. We have saved the best of the oxen. Why? Because we're going to sacrifice to your God. Preacher, and I, just tell me if this has ever come across your ears. What you're telling me, that may be good for a preacher. That may be good for you, but that's not going to work for me. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The Lord said he is no respecter of persons. The Lord said he is the God of all comfort. He's given comfort to all. All these people means all of us. That means the God that I've got is no different from the God that you've got if we've got the same God. He's not any different going from Saul to Samuel. There's no difference here. So don't think for 1 minute when the preacher gets up here and preaches scripture that it's only good for preachers. It's only good for deacons. It's only good for choir members. No, the Word of God is good for how many? All people. So when Samuel says, hey, Saul, this is what the Lord has said, it's not just because of what I'm saying. It's because of what he's saying. And if it's what he has said, you better listen. We fall into a very severe trap of listening to men over listening to the Word of God. We fall into severe traps because somebody stands up real big and tall on a stage that is grossly too big for the man and stands there and says, because I've got a big work, because I've written a lot of books, because I've got a lot of commentaries that are authored by me, because of all those things, you ought to give me ear. If you're not preaching to me out of the Word of God, my ears are closed. Oh, that should have been a louder amen. I hope and pray you're awake this morning, because I got to be real honest with you. The reason that Saul starts to fail is because he starts to rely on himself. We have got no intellect to offer. We've got to rely on God, because the stuff that God does doesn't make sense to you or to me. But it doesn't change what God hath said. If you read the scriptures that we just read and you take it from a human perspective, don't tell me that it makes sense to kill the infants and the sucklings. Bleeding hearts of the world, unite. We'd have never made it in this day and age with what God told them to do right here. Never. And listen, we can say amen, but don't put yourself in that position, because you wouldn't kill a child either. Huh? God gave a very, very sobering command here. And Saul satisfied the greatest portion of this. Getting rid of women and children, killing them with the sword. He got rid of the greatest portion. Well, Brother Dave, I gave up my alcohol. Brother Dave, I gave up my drugs. Brother Dave, I gave up the things that you're telling me to give up. But did you give up your time alone so you could get in the Bible and read about? Did you give up things so you could do that? Hey, I gave up the greatest portion. I gave it up. But are you obeying what God has said in everything? Now, I'm not saying we can. Don't misread me. But it's amazing how often we use any excuse possible. My fingernails broke. I can't come to church. Hey, listen, you laugh. I've heard less. And I'm not saying this so I pack the pews out. No, I'm saying it so you think. See, what's amazing is we have become a nation that does not fear God. We do not fear what God still has the wonderful capabilities to do. Do you think God is short-handed nowadays? Do you think God is now blind? He must have cataracts. His eyes are going dim where he cannot see the faults of his people. Do you believe that God has changed in these? He's gotten softer. There's going to be a day when the Lord looks down, and let me tell you something, this scripture frightens me. when he looks down and says, "Depart from me." Well, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not done great miracles in your name? And he looks down and says, "Depart from me. Ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." God is not mocked. When he says there'll be a tremendous curse for adding or taking away from his word, he must be kidding. Saul did. Hey, I'm using Old Testament scripture here. Saul did, Brother Mike, the vast, vast majority. He just didn't destroy the good things. "It's only the good that I have kept, Lord. It's only the good. And by the way, I kept them to sacrifice unto you." That's not what God asked him to do. Sacrifice is wonderful. But what's better? Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay." Verse 16. Can I ask you one more question before we go on? Have I told you anything that's not in here? I just want to clarify. I am preaching what God has said right now. I just want to clarify that. I'm not making this up. This isn't Brother Dave Ballard doctrine. This is Bible. Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on, are you sure? Be very careful, because the Lord will expose you." When you get into this book, see, I always know when a Christian is getting closer to God, and I'll tell you how. Not because they tell you they're getting closer to God. When they tell you they're getting closer to God, I realize that they're getting further away. Oh, you may not like that. They might not agree with you. But if you're willing to say, "I'm getting closer to God," when you get closer to God, you realize how unworthy you are. When you get close to God, you realize how humble you need to be. When you get closer to God, you realize that you are truly dust. When you get closer to God, you realize that he's in control of everything. And what are you in control of? Nothing. See, what you got to understand is when you get closer to God, you're not willing to tell anybody you're closer to God. You're willing to tell everybody you're a wretch. What'd Paul say? "Oh, wretched man that I am!" He wrote it down. The Lord wrote it down so everybody could see it. It's a wonderful thought to know that you are a sinner in the hand of an angry God, and he loves you so much that even though you're a sinner, he still loves you. You want to get close to God? Start realizing who you are and who he is, and it'll get you closer. Look at this now. Samuel said, verse 17, "When thou wast little in thine own sight," that, remember when he was hiding in the stuff? Okay, he was little in his own sight right there. "Remember, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.'" Did he do it? No. He saved the king. He didn't destroy them all. Almost. But not all. "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord?" Just a few verses ago, Saul came out and said, "Hey, welcome, brother. I've done everything the Lord commanded." And then Samuel drops this on him. "But didst thou fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, look at what he says. Now the preacher, and I want to reiterate something here to you. The preacher is a sinner. He is. God's man is a sinful man. I am a man of God. Now, I'm not the man of God for this work. I've been the first and foremost to say that. Your pastor, Dr. Richard E. Skiver, is the man of God for this work. I've never, ever made any bones about that. But I am a man of God. I've been called by God to preach. I want to ask you a question. Where did you go wrong when you stopped listening to your preacher? We only want to hear what we want to hear. But when God's man comes up and says something to you that you don't like, you beat feet for the doors, you beat feet for your telephone, you beat feet for letter writing, you beat feet for Facebook, you beat feet for anything you can to tear down the credibility of the man of God. Well, I've got something to issue to you right now. I've got no credibility, but God's word has all the credibility in the world. So if you hear something you don't like, I got somebody you can Facebook. Facebook Jesus Christ and take it up with him. Somebody say amen this morning. I can't believe you're preaching like this. It's too early in the morning. I'm not near in a good enough mood. Wherefore, I can't believe things are going wrong in my life. I went to the preacher for counseling, and the preacher counseled you, and you forsook the counsel. Wherefore, I'm not saying to do everything that your preacher says. But I am saying this, you ought to give a whole lot of weight to what that man of God says, because he has been given the job of watching over your soul. That's what the Bible says. He's been given that job. I've known preacher for 20-some years. He loves you more than any other preacher in the world loves their church. You may not like to hear that. That's the truth. I've never seen somebody care about their people more than my dad. Do you think he's going to try to steer you wrong? Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didn't. And by the way, I want you to see something else here. I know this is taking a while, but it's good work. Wherefore didst thou not obey whose voice? God didn't speak directly to him. He spoke through a man, though. Huh? Samuel's not taking credit for what he told Saul. He's saying, God told you to do this. He told you through me, but it wasn't me that told you. It was God that told you through me. You know, that's how God's man speaks to you. Has God speaking through him. As long as he stays with this. Come on now. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now he adds rebellion to the sin. He says, no, what are you talking about? I did it. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Do you know how many times I've heard preachers tell me that? Oh, the Lord's telling me to do this. You know how many times it makes me want to throw up? It makes me want to throw up when a man of God comes up and tells you all the time, God hath told me to do this. God hath told me to do this. I'm very, very nervous. Very nervous when I see that kind of mess. And it's happening more and more and more and more. Where they blame what they're doing on God. So this, do you see what that's what Saul's doing here? He's blaming God. He's saying, oh, no. Samuel, you don't understand. Preacher, God told me to do this. God told me to skip out on church. No, God told me that you don't have to have the Bible to be saved. God told me that. God told me that so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God isn't really true. God told me that. God told me that the scriptures that I've known from a child that are able to make thee wise unto salvation, that's not truly true. Timothy's nuts. That's not what God hath said. Boy, that's good stuff. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. I brought the king, destroyed the people, kept the sacrifices. In his eyes, that's what God wanted. But in God's eyes, that's not what God wanted. But the people took of the spoil. Now he changes things. Let's put it in reverse. It's not my fault. The people took of the spoil. It was the people's fault. I wish the people would have been in the room with him when he said that. It was the people. It was Miss Annie that took from the spoil of the Lord. He wasn't me. That little church member thinks they know better than the preacher. No, or thinks they know better than the king. No way. It was the people that did wrong. Now he's above reproach, right? The people took of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been, utterly destroyed. Now, wait a minute. Back up a second. You just said that you did it all. You just said that you followed the orders. You just said that you kept the commandment. You knew what the commandment was. You knew it. He says it here. No, I was supposed to utterly destroy, but the people messed up. No, 10 seconds ago, when he walked into the room, you said, I've done it all. Now, you've been called out by your preacher and said, no, wait a minute, it's the people's fault. It was my intention to utterly destroy everything that was there, but it was the people. You just said you brought the king. He was supposed to destroy him too. He adds rebellion. Now he's rebelling directly against the preacher, saying, no, it was not me. It was God's people. No, it was you. It was you, Saul, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, again, thy God, in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Here it is. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. There it is. How many times have you heard that verse? Seriously, how many times have you heard that verse? It's better to obey than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Look at this now. I told you he added rebellion, right? Did I go outside of the Word of God? Look at what this says. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You're being stupid. You're being stupid, Saul. You're adding rebellion and stubbornness. Those two things are wrong. Worse. Because thou hast, look at this now, and I want you to see what this says. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. The preacher tried to tell him. The preacher tried to point out, this is what you ought to do. But the vast majority of the time, people hear what they ought to do. Hey, I've cried out like a trumpet about sturdy, rotten Facebook. Come on now. I knew I wouldn't get any amens now. It's going to shut down now. Watch. Watch it shut down in this church house. I've cried aloud about Facebook. Do you know what the number one cause of divorce in America is now? It's not finances. It used to be. Just 2 years ago, finances and stress of the finances was the number one cause of divorce in America. Do you know what the number one is now? Facebook. Stinking, rotten Facebook. Facebook. Stinking, rotten Facebook. And you're going to sit there and you're going to shut me out right now. I've got the volume turned down on a lot of you right now. I'm on Facebook. Facebook is no problem. Don't tell me you do good stuff on there. Don't tell me you do profitable stuff on there. I keep touch with my loved ones. Get their email. What happened to email? No, I got to have a social network. What you got to have is your face in the book. You know, people get mad at me and they hate this kind of preaching, and you'll meet me out in the parking lot later and say you're off your rocker. But you remember that this little preacher told you to get off the computer and get into your Bible and start knowing what God has said. Oh no, you don't understand, Brother Dave. I'm on Facebook so I can pray for people. I wasn't aware that we needed the computer to pray for people. It's a ministry I have. I talk to the people. It's a quick way of talking to people. Hey, listen, we get one call 7 days a week. That's a good way for a preacher to talk to people. He don't need to be jumping on a stupid computer to keep in touch with you. Let me explain something to you. We've lost something. We've lost. We don't know what this says anymore. That scares me. That scares me. Oh, God is a loving God and a kind God and a wonderful God. Certainly he wouldn't do what it says here. But he did. That's what he said. And if we don't follow, and I said, please, he's not telling you to do this here. But he is telling you one thing that rings out. It is far better to obey than to sacrifice. Even if it's good in your eyes. Oh, it's good. Nothing wrong with this. And by the way, can I help you a little bit? You may not be doing anything suspect on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
I don't make it right.
It's association.
See, you got to understand something. You can walk in a bar and not take a drink, but that don't make it right. You may not like that, but and most Christians don't like this kind of preaching because it hits their home. It hits their feet. You'd rather have Joel Osteen stand up here and bat his eyes at you and tell you everything's all right in my Father's house. I'll meet you at the bar right after church. When I pass that bucket around, make sure you fill it and everything will be all right. You don't understand something. He don't step on toes. But I'm watching people. Why, Brother Dave, why do you keep bringing this up? Because I grieved all night long. I cried all night long for my people. And when I come and talk to the king, I want to tell him what God said. Because I'm tired of grieving over the people. I'm tired of seeing my people get destroyed. I'm tired of seeing my people go down into sin. I'm tired. I want my people to succeed. I want my people to go forward. I want me to go forward. To do that, I've got to take my eyes off of me and the good and put it on the King of Kings. Why do preachers, if you don't have a preacher that's got passion, get you another place. But you're not lacking passion here, I'll guarantee you that. See, I care about your life. I'm just the associate here. I don't even scrape the surface of how much this man cares for your life. I don't want to see you fail. I don't want to watch your life go down the tubes. And you'll hear me. And you'll say, Brother Dave, I've only gone down to one day a week on Facebook. I've done that which you asked. I only talk to fellow church members. Well, now all of you are in sin. You, I want you to, the reason I brought this up is not for Facebook, but boy, it sure fits good. Saul only kept the good. Preacher, I'm only keeping the good. But you're not obeying the word of the Lord. You say, well, where's that in Scripture? Facebook and Scripture. Get you in this book. I guarantee you that's in there. And I want to ask you a question. How much time do you spend on a computer? And how much time do you spend in this? And you tell me I'm wrong. Tell me. You tell me. I challenge you to show me where you spend more time in this book. If you give this book more than 5 or 10 minutes a day, I'm just asking. What I like is this. Verse 27, and we're done. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. Saul says, no, you're not leaving. You're not leaving. It's like holding on to the preacher's jacket. No, preacher, I know you told me right, but now you're not leaving. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And the strength, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me. He doesn't care about God. He cares about getting honor from men, that I may worship the Lord thy God. You're not going to worship the Lord thy God by taking honor to yourself. Man, that preaches good. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring thee hither to me Agag. Samuel's old, remember? I'm all done with this. Bring to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Look at this now. Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel, the old man of God, hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Preacher said, I'm not putting up with it anymore. The man of God said, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it. And he took the sword, you don't like this, but he took the sword and hewed that king in pieces. If you're not going to get the sin out. Remember when preacher tells that story about dumping out the alcohol in a man's house? Huh? He saw the sin. He saw the sin that was killing the sinner. And he took out his sword and grabbed those alcohol bottles and dumped them into the sink, hewing the liquor in pieces. Why? Because that was the sin that was tearing up his people. God bless a man of God that cares about his people enough to grab his old sword and hew that sin in pieces. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, please, let the people know that I love them. I don't do this kind of thing in malice. I do it because it's what the Word of God says. And Lord, I can't be afraid of faces. I can't be afraid of what people may say of me. I've got to preach what you've said. And God, you want us to do right. Even if it looks good in our eyes, it has to match up with what's good in your eyes. Lord, please help us today. Help us to seek out what you have said, because it's not thy God, it's my God. Lord, help us. Help us to grab the old two-edged sword and help us to hew in pieces the sin that doth so easily beset us and turn to you again. Oh God, help us. It's amazing in Scripture, very soon after this, we'll talk about this the next week, we see a new king. Lord God, help us to go after a new king. Help us to go after a new king. And let's make that king you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What a blessing.